Golf Weekly from Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Off the Ball Open in Abu Dhabi this November. Book your place now at offtheball.com/open.
Joe Malloy here and Peter Lawrie here. We are staying on till 7 o'clock this evening on Off the Ball because something quite extraordinary is happening. Shane Lowry is on the 18th fairway, Peter Lawrie. He is 6 shots clear of Tommy Fleetwood, not since Louis Westhuizen in 2010, as somebody won the Open Championship by 6 shots. Shane Lowry is able to enjoy this walk. He enjoyed the walk from his tee shot down to the middle of the fairway. He even gave a few fist bumps. We're hearing ole ole of all things in Portrush. Pretty amazing scenes.
It's spectacular, isn't it? As we look at it, there's probably more people inside the ropes than there what is meant to be. But yeah, I don't think they're too worried right now. Shane is eyeing up his second shot into the last. Himself and Bo there are just enjoying the moment. This will be Brian Martin's first major, first real big golf tournament to have won, which with Shane. And Shane has been such a good player. He had such a great chance a couple of years ago in Oakmont against and he gave it away to Dustin Johnson. But he certainly hasn't given this one away.
No, he's done really well, Shane Lowry. If you're just tuning in, you've missed the day. If you're getting back into your car after being at Croke Park, he bogeyed the first and we thought, oh, here we go. This may be Oakmont all over again. A tough start. He did well to actually avoid a double bogey on the first. And then he settled in par in the second, par in the third. It was 4 and 5 where he made birdie back to back and we thought, okay, this is good. And then he had another birdie on the seventh and that was when he was in complete control of the situation. There were 3 bogeys and 4 holes between 8 and 11. But the thing for Shane was, nobody else was coming at him. Tommy Fleetwood wasn't exerting much pressure. Nobody was coming from the pack. So even though he did make 3 bogeys in those 4 holes, it never really felt like he was in big trouble. He was always at least 4 shots clear. Never got to within 3, Tommy Fleetwood. There was another bogey on the 14th for Larry, but again, Fleetwood was having an equally tough day. And then on the 15th, Larry made a brilliant birdie. 2 great shots in, held the putt from 12 feet, and he stood on the spot and fist bumped as if to say, that's it, cracked. And last hole, 6 shots clear of Fleetwood. Fleetwood's just played his second from 18. He's gone over the back of the 18th green, and his caddy's just put his arm around him as if to say, you know, good run, we did well, we're going to finish second here. But they've known it's over for some time. We're about to watch Larry hit his shot in. He fatted this one on Friday, actually, which was odd. He played it well yesterday. I'm sure he'll play it well today. Nice, relaxed now. He's looking at it. He's swung. It's in the air. He's leaning a touch left, so it may have gone a bit right. It has, but it's going to trickle back down to the green. So he's got, 14, 15 feet. And Shane Lowry knows it's done. He's put his 2 hands up in the air. He's stopped. He's high-fived his caddy, Bo Martin. He's given him a hug, middle of the fairway, and he's enjoying this walk. I'd say you've dreamt of a walk like that. You can only imagine.
You can only imagine.
Just phenomenal.
Yeah, going through his head right now. He has the smile in his face. And it's unbelievable for Shane Lowry to have this walk, to have won the Open. And it's just really, really fantastic. He probably needs to hurry up a little bit there before the crowds swarm in. It's sort of days of old, isn't it, of Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus beating their way through the crowds.
Well, they're doing this thing when Peter says days of old. You'll have seen it in previous British Opens whereby they want the green surrounded by the crowd. Oh, look at this. Larry's walking onto the green, 2 hands in the air. Ole, ole is ringing out. It's amazing. We see a tricolour there. They've allowed people run up the fairway to surround the green. And so there was a bit of a burst for Larry to get through them, but he made his way through them. They're all there just on the edge of the green. He's gone back for another hug with Bo. He's just enjoying this. It's an amazing spectacle.
It is. It's great. And now they're showing his dad hugged by Graham McDowell. It really is fantastic. But what I would say about Shane is he's one of the nicest guys on tour.
Yeah.
And it really is, it's great for him. He gives it his all at all times, but he also knows how to enjoy himself.
Yeah.
And we've seen that. There's his wife Wendy and their little baby Erin, I think it is. She's only two.
She's just spotted daddy.
Yeah.
His 2-year-old daughter's just spotted him in the green and pointed to him and said daddy. And his wife's probably close to tears. We're seeing his father, Brendan, he's been there all day. His mother, not so much. She finds him too tough to watch, you were saying?
Yeah, poor Al Brady. Bridie, I think it is. She, look, for years ago, I remember, you know, chatting to her about, you know, Shane and the golf course. She could never go on the golf course. While his dad would always go out and potter around and watch him, she was always too nervous. It made her too nervous. She stayed at home. Yeah. But isn't it great? She's at home probably watching it on the TV or watching it in the players' lounge. She can relax and enjoy it. Her son has just won the Open Championship.
Yeah. I wasn't sure Larry would get a major. I knew he had the talent, and it wasn't that. It was just sometimes he can be tough on himself at times, and Oakmont was a scary experience, I'm sure, and a tough experience and lots of scar tissue, and the other players are just so good. You know, it's just not easy to win these things.
No, it's not that easy to win, but Shane has done it his way. Like, he is no Jim Bunny. Mm. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And isn't it great that he has done it his way? Mm. He's won an Open Championship, and he enjoys his golf. As I said to you, he enjoys himself off the golf course as well. Mm. But he practices really hard. Everybody had all this opinion about what Shane should do, go to the gym, lose weight, and whatever else. Mm. But that's not him.
Mm. Tommy Fleetwood's putting his third from off the green, and it's a very good putt, especially under the circumstances, because Lowry had to gesture to everybody almost just to quieten down a moment. And Fleetwood, to the very end, great fella that he is, just said to Lowry, "Let me get this out of the way. I want you to enjoy your two putt or your one putt." That's the kind of guy Fleetwood is. He gets this, he gets it's a moment. So he said, "Look, let me get rid of this." And that's the right thing to do under the circumstances.
Very much so. You know, Tommy has been around the block and he knows what it is. This is Shane's moment and he just wants to get out of the way.
Let me get out of here, stage left, Shane. It's over to you. We're seeing close-ups of Shane just smiling and looking towards the gap in the 18th where his dad is now standing, his wife, his daughter. I thought I saw Harrington's head there behind McDowell when McDowell was hugging Brendan Lowry, Shane's father. So they're all gathered, they're all waiting. It's going to be some reception from Fleetwood standing over his putt now, taps it in, 3-footer, good man Tommy Fleetwood. Wasn't quite his day, he could win a major one day.
He could, he just didn't play as well as he normally does. Mm. His game just wasn't there, especially off the tee. Mm. But we have to realise today was a really, really tough day. Mm. Shane played with JB Holmes yesterday. JB Holmes shot 87 today.
Wow.
So that's how tough a day it could be when you got it wrong.
Yeah.
And Shane didn't get it wrong. He's a six-shot lead, as we said, and he has whatever many putts to win the Open Championship.
He can take as many as he wants, really. He's concentrating on this putt all the same. He is off the green. I'm sure he would like to leave it close. He would not like to finish with a bogey.
I don't think he really cares, Joe. As long as that ball goes into the hole and he shakes hands and signs a scorecard.
He's hit his third. It's a lovely putt.
He dallies it up beautifully to the edge of the hole.
Shane Lowry has a 3-inch tap-in to win the Open.
Yeah.
A stunning moment for Irish golf. He turns and hugs his caddy, Bo Martin. Backslaps and hugs. An amazing moment. Bo is saying something to him. Well done, I'm sure. And here comes his wife and his daughter. Big smiles, big hug. He grabs his daughter. Hug for the wife. You can only imagine what he's feeling right now. Absolutely incredible. Shane Lowry has just won the Open Championship. He's gone over to shake hands with Tommy Fleetwood. Amazing, amazing moments.
It'd bring tears to your eyes.
Yeah. You've known him a long time?
Since he started, since he came out. I played the first practice round with him many, many years ago when after he'd won the Irish Open, he had just turned pro. I played 9 holes with him and it was his first time really, you know, coming out onto the pro ranks. But he's a wonderful lad. We spent a lot of time together and just really, really delighted for him.
What an amazing moment. Brendan giving his son a hug after winning the Open. More family members, you presume.
His sister and his brother.
Is it?
Yeah.
Brother caddied for him earlier this year. His brother looks overcome, actually, Alan. Yeah. Shane's shaking hands with various officials and people who've raked bunkers all day and held scorecards and probably in a weird way been part of the day. I'm sure you know that from a pro. Those guys are with you all day.
They are, yeah. And isn't it great to see that he remembers these people? Mm.
Yeah, he could run off that green in ecstasy. Yeah. So we're just watching these pictures. Yeah, who's that with him there? I don't even know. There's people coming out of the woodwork here.
That's the guy who manages him. And there's Conor Ridge, his manager. Ricky Elliott there, the left-hand side. Ronan Flood. That's his coach now getting in there.
Ronan Flood, there's
Ronan, yeah.
Audrey County's caddy. There's Neil Manship there in a hat as well, standing beside him. I'm seeing Gary Murphy stand over Neil Manship's shoulder. So what Manship and Lowry have done together, Graham McDowell giving him a big hug as well. We're just going to talk over these pictures. We'll go up to John. There's Padraig Harrington, yeah, who's waited for him. Their chipping contests over the last couple of years.
Pay off,
what,
yeah.
They've paid off, I'd say,
they
and the rest.
Have, yeah.
Gary Murphy there to give him a big hug. I'm sure, you know, just amazing for all these people who've been a part of the journey with him, and they've made a point to come out in the 18th and see him. You know what? It's not ecstatic. It's not jumping up and down, losing the mind, because they've probably known for an hour that he's got this.
Exactly, yeah. He can take it all in and enjoy every minute of it. But he has to remember to go sign a scorecard and make it official.
Yeah. Let's go up to John Duggan. You're watching it there from the media centre, John.
Yes, Joe and Peter, and we're journalists, we're broadcasters, but we also love sport, and that Shane Lowry would win the Open Championship on the island of Ireland, where this piece would melt anyone's heart, it would make anyone emotional. Like, we've had some great moments in Irish sport over the decades. Katie Taylor, Michael Carruth, Ronnie Delaney, John Tracy, and occasion Stuttgart, Twickenham, Cardiff, the Giant Stadium, but this is right up there for me, and I'm sure for so many other people. And in a few moments' time, he'll collect the most coveted trophy in golf, engraved in his name, the Claret Jug, symbolically 10 years after he won that Irish Open as an amateur of Altray. Lots of ups and downs since then, but a six-shot win today, he'll collect a cheque for €1.7 million, his win symbolic of a golden period for Irish golf, 10 major championships since 2007, and we've just got such great people involved in the game in this country. And I suppose we're all Offaly fans today, Joe and Peter, and the whole nation loves this guy. Such a regular guy, and I think we're also thrilled for Shane Lowry, like his dad, Brendan, an All-Ireland champion this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much, John, up in Portrush. We'll try and run and get some reaction from Shane. I'm not sure what tends to happen now. I guess he has to go in and very carefully sign his card and dot all the I's and cross all the T's and double check, and then there'll be the presentation on the green, as is the norm with the champion golfer of the year.
Absolutely. The tournament official, or the tournament, the guy who runs the tournament, will be in there with him. He'll be telling him exactly what's going to happen next after he signs his card. Mm. He'll be brought out onto the 18th green and to do the official presentation. I think just before the official presentation, you actually go to the TV and you do your interview with the TV first of all, and then you get your official presentation.
We're seeing the shots again at the moment in 18, where he taps in and puts his two hands outstretched in the air and then looks around to bow, almost, what do I do here? And there's a hug, and it must just be the most surreal feeling. He had real heartbreak 3 years ago in Oakmont. It was an embarrassing finish for him, a 76 in the final round. Mm. You know he felt he let himself down that day. He's done anything but today. And I'm sure, Peter, when you bogey the first the way he did, it must cross your mind, okay, get this thing back on track.
I think, you know, he left himself such a long putt on the first hole for bogey. Mm. Even holing that one actually helped him. You know, if he had made a 3-putt bogey, he would have walked off furious with himself. Mm. But he actually made, as they say, a good bogey on the first hole, and that really started his round. But for all the hardship that he's gone through, for all the naysayers that said, you know, he'd never win a major, he needed to get fit, he needed to do this, he needed to do that, he's proved them all wrong. Mm. Shane Lowry's won it his way. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, it really is a stunning achievement for Lowry. Still only 32, first major, and to win by 6 shots. Like, you look at the rest of this field, Tommy Fleetwood, a brilliant player in his own right, finished 9-under. Finau, 7-under. You had Lee Westwood and Brooks Koepka, 6-under. Robert McIntyre, Tyrrell Hatton, Danny Willett, the Masters champion, Ricky Fowler, all 5-under. Patrick Reed, 4-under. The next batter on 3-under, and so on. My point being, there's nothing to separate second from about 20th here. They're all bunched together.
Yeah.
Shane Lowry has trounced the field here effectively. This isn't getting over the line. No. He's won by 6 shots and he's beaten third place by 8 shots.
He certainly has. He's played the golf. You know, I think we said it at the start of the week. His draw was so important at the start of the week to play with Mickelson and Brandon Grace. Two really good guys to play golf with.
You said that on the Wednesday night in here.
Yeah, and they that really helped him. And he played on the good side of the draw as well. And that sort of set him up. Mm. But yesterday's score, 63, was just put himself straight away. You know, they say Saturday's moving day. Yeah. He moved in the right direction.
Part of me was almost worried to get such a healthy lead overnight. There was so much attention on him. I almost was thinking I'd prefer if he was a shot back. Let him sleep well. It's a heavy weight on your shoulders because it's 24 hours then of, well, effectively 24 hours of speculation and everybody talking about you, and all the websites are leading with you and all the interviewers want to talk to you. And you're in your own mind, you then have to go into that final round knowing if I mess this up, it will forever be not a choke, but a massive opportunity missed. And you've all of that swirling around for you. You've less of that when you're one shot back and you have to go for it. So, I was even thinking it's four shot lead going into a final round is a blessing and a curse.
It certainly is. I'd love to ask, the first question I'd ask him was, what did you do last night?
Yeah. Well, he told the press conference afterwards he was going to be watching Love Island.
Oh, okay.
So he was sticking to his routine. Yeah, I don't know if Wendy watches it or not.
Oh, no doubt Wendy'd watch it, yeah. But isn't it great? Like, we're just watching the scenes there of himself, Aaron, and Wendy come together on the 18th. It really is just, for the island of Ireland, to have an Irish winner, playing in the island of Ireland, the British Open, the first time in 62 years.
Yeah.
It's going to get guys who hadn't played golf or who had no interest in golf all of a sudden going, Dad, do you want to take me up to the driving range? Or do you want me to play golf? Mm. And it's young guys, young girls who are watching this, give them a great opportunity to go and start playing golf. And the GUI, as I said, and I listened to Paul McGinley there, had done a great job in getting Shane to where he is and getting others like him.
It's funny, Pete Cowan talks about going in and doing a bit of work with the GUI back around 2004 or so, and spotting Larry, and McIlroy was of that generation as well, and saying, you've got another superstar on your hands here. Don't just let Rory blind you all to the fact that this kid here is pretty good.
And
he wasn't half right. Pete Cowan knows a thing or two.
He certainly does.
The thing about Larry is, you talk about him doing it his own way. And so you mentioned, he's not in the gym and that's very much in vogue now and he does things his own way. That applies to his swing as well. Like, for golf nerds who read all the textbook ways to swing a club, like, Larry straightens that right leg on the backswing and he does little quirky things and he has a long backswing. You can go and cross the line and do all these things that if you were to build the textbook golf swing, you would say, well, that's not ideal. But he owns them and he seems to have always done those things in his swing and hasn't felt the pressure. And it's a pressure a lot of golfers have succumbed to, hasn't felt the pressure to reinvent his golf swing just because it's not the norm.
Picture perfect, yeah. Shane swings with rhythm. Mm. His whole golf swing is rhythm. If you look at his short game, he probably has the best short game out there by none. You know, he takes Harrington on a week-to-week basis. I used to be in those pitching competitions, and you would struggle against them. Because their short games are so good. They have an array of different shots to play. They don't just play the flop shot. They play the pitch and runs. They play stun shots. They can play any shot out of any lie and always for a few quid. And that's one thing, a little bit of pressure put on in your practice is always very good.
That's the thing. People can scoff at the few quid aspect because it's something they bring up when they talk about it. They say, we've money on it.
Yeah.
That's not just like some kind of gambling addiction. That's not just some kind of, what's the money about? They need to feel pressure in their practice, and that is why they're doing it.
Of course, yeah. And we're not talking about millions either. No, we're only talking small change.
But enough to make you want to win it.
But it's the more the pride than anything else that I took money off Shane or Porrick took money off Shane or whatever it may be. Mm. We're watching him here drink a Diet Coke, and fair play to Shane, he always liked Diet Coke himself from where we're like.
I'd say he needs the sugar hit here.
Yeah.
We're seeing, if you're wondering what's happening, you might have said Molinari had to watch a good hour or 45 minutes of his Carnoustie win last year, and they build all these various prefab type areas off the 18th, and so Larry's sitting in there with his wife and with his daughter, and Beau Martin was in there as well, and they're just waiting for everything to get in order. I'm sure they have to inscribe the trophy, the claret jug, which is a nice thing, and get everything ready. So they're just sort of sitting there and hanging around and kind of smiling and watching himself on TV a little bit as well, and his daughter's sitting there wondering what the hell's going on. I think she's aware something big's going on, but probably not the full extent.
She's too young.
Yeah.
Too young.
Because actually, when he won in Abu Dhabi earlier this year, he did say, and he mentioned this in the press conference yesterday, he said to Wendy, his wife, going out, because he had a 4-shot lead in Abu Dhabi, he said, look, whatever happens, have her at 18, because either I'll have won and I want her there, my daughter there, and it'll be a great moment for the three of us, or if I lose, I definitely want her there, because it will just...
take my mind off it completely.
Exactly.
I'm back to being dad.
And he said that was a lovely comforting thought in Abu Dhabi, and it was the same here. He said to her, look, you two at the 18, and we'll get through whatever goes on. So he's back out now, and underneath the 18th stand. So it looks like we won't hear from him from a TV perspective first. It looks like he's getting ready to go back out for the presentation. Yeah, so no TV obligations. That was a quick enough turnaround. So Lowry's waiting underneath the 18th stand now, and he's going to go out, and Martin Slumbers, the RNA CEO, is going to present the trophy to him. We're just going to take a short break while Shane Lowry gets ready to walk out onto the 18th green and receive the claret jug. I'd say he can't quite believe what's happening. Back in a sec. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, Tech Talk is on the way. Off the Ball is sticking around until 7 o'clock because Shane Lowry has won the Open Championship. Extraordinary scenes at Portrush. Ole ole ringing out on the 18th green. Lowry has finished comfortable winner as well. He has lapped the field. 15 under par, champion golfer of the year. 6 shots clear of Tommy Fleetwood. The last time somebody won by 6 shots was Louis Westhuizen back in 2010. This does not happen very often. About once a decade, as that stat suggests. So champion golfer of the year on 15 under par, Tommy Fleetwood on 9 under. Tony Finau, for the record, finished 3rd on 7 under. And then Lee Westwood, whose putter deserted him this weekend, finished tied for 4th alongside Brooks Koepka, whose putter also deserted him this weekend. So it was Lowry on 15 under, Fleetwood 9 under, Finau 7 under, Westwood and Koepka on 6 under. And Peter Lowry has been watching here in studio. We were looking at his round, started off with a bogey on 1, but really he saved double bogey. He had a long putt to make bogey and gave a clenched fist there, and then he had 3 birdies in the space of 4 holes on the 4th. Brilliantly played the 5th, that drivable par 4, made a good par on the par 3 6th, and then another birdie followed on 7, and then he had 3 bogeys in 4 hole, the exact opposite. The lucky thing for him was nobody was coming from the pack, nobody was able to play well. That was the real teeth of the bad weather. It was ugly stuff, wet gear on, horrible wind, rain, just nasty around that time. They all struggled a little bit, so 3 bogeys in 4 holes was about par for the course around that time.
It was, and he didn't do, you know, bogey, as I said to you from the start, was as bad as it should get. You know, if he can just keep the double bogeys off his card, that was what he really wanted to do. And that's what he did. And those really tough holes, making bogey was staying put. It wasn't moving back, it wasn't moving forward. Well, nobody else was coming at him. And as you said, you know, there the scores of the guys behind him, you know, nobody was making birdies.
No, absolutely. He went on to 14, had another bogey. Again, the weather quite bad, but he bounced back, and really where this thing swung in many ways was on the 15th when he made a brilliant birdie, played the hole so well on 15, made a birdie. Meanwhile, Tommy Fleetwood was struggling and never had his best stuff, because on the 14th, Tommy Fleetwood made double bogey. Lowry made a bogey, but Fleetwood made double bogey, and then Lowry followed with birdie to Fleetwood's par, and at that stage it was done. And even on the 16th, even in Calamity, when Lowry hit that brilliant kind of stinger shot, that fade almost, and Fleetwood followed suit, from about 16 in, it was a bit of a procession. Lowry was able to enjoy 3 holes as major champion in waiting, and we've just seen him there in the 18. He said a few words. We're going to bring you those in just one moment, and he's now stepped aside to have photos taken. I mean, I don't know, did you think Lowry would definitely win a major? I'm sure you felt it was far from a guarantee.
It was far from a guarantee. He definitely had the game to do it. But as I said to you, and as we've discussed, he doesn't have a textbook golf swing, but he does have rhythm. And when he gets into the mood of playing well and giving himself options, his short game can certainly back it up.
And was the worry that because the swing is so natural and unique to him, that rhythm being essential, rhythm can desert you when you're under a lot of pressure? Was that maybe the worry with it?
Very much so, yeah. And that's what deserted him the last time when he had a 4-shot lead. But this year has been totally different. That win in Abu Dhabi against a really, really tough field there, there was a real strong field in Abu Dhabi, proved the fact that he could do this. He also had a bag switch as well. You know, last year he moved away from a Dermot Byrne.
I was just going to say, Peter, you forget how long a year is in golf. This time last year, he missed the cut for the fourth successive year at the Open, and he effectively parted ways. You can use the word fired if you want.
Yeah.
He parted ways with his caddy, Dermot Byrne. Neil Manship caddied for him.
Caddied for him on the Friday at the Open.
Yeah. So Thursday went so badly that he parted ways with Dermot Byrne. Didn't even wait until the tournament was over. Neil Manship had to caddy for him on the Friday, missed the cut. He was slipping out of the top 100 in the world around that stage. If you had said to him on that Thursday night, as he told Dermot Byrne, or him and Dermot Byrne reached an agreement, that you're going to win this tournament in a year, and I would have agreed, he would have said you were nuts. It just didn't seem possible that he'd be winning it.
No, it didn't seem possible at all. It didn't seem possible that he'd get himself back into the Masters at the start of the year either. Mm. And he won the right tournament at the right time. He won in Abu Dhabi, and that was huge because it was huge ranking points. Mm. Because they had such a good field there, he jumped back into the top 100. He jumped back into a spot or a chance to get in the Masters.
Yeah.
And that was really the start of it.
Because he had intended to play a lot more in Europe, and then suddenly that win propelled him back stateside for all the big events. Yeah. Here is the moment. Champion Golfer of the Year 2019.
With a score of 269, the winner of the gold medal and the Champion Golfer of the Year is Shane Lowry. What can I say? I just have so many people to thank, really. First of all, I'm going to the RNA for such a great event. You know, to have an Open Championship here on the island of Ireland in Royal Port Rush Golf Club is just amazing. I love this place. It's one of my favourite places in Ireland, and to be able to come up here and play an Open Championship was great. And I suppose I have a lot of people in my backroom team that I have to thank. And I'm my coach Neil, my caddy Bo, my management, everybody just, I definitely wouldn't be standing here without them. My family, what can I say? My mum and dad. They sacrificed so much for me when I was younger, and I'm so happy that I can hand them this trophy tonight. My wife and my little girl, Iris, to have them here today is just extra special. I don't know what to say. Last but not least, the volunteers and all the fans. I mean, thank you so much. This one's for you.
Yeah, Shane Lowry speaking on the 18th green as champion golfer 2019, speaking to the galleries, had just been presented with the claret jug, no less, courtesy of Martin Slumbers, as is tradition. And then he was hoiked greenside by the Sky Sports team, who do a brilliant job and have done all week. And they wanted a few words with Lowry as well. So let's have a listen. This is just after he made that speech on the 18th green and the Sky crew got him.
Many, many congratulations. Proudly holding the claret jug. Champion Golfer of the Year 2019 here at Royal Port Rush. How incredible does that sound?
It's
Honestly, I feel like I'm in like an out of body experience. I mean, I was so calm coming down the last hole. I couldn't believe it. What a day. I mean, it was difficult out there. The weather was so hard. I mean, I wasn't going great around the middle of the round, but then I had a look at the leaderboard and seeing everyone else struggling, which was, you know, and then it kind of turned into a two-horse race with me and Tommy, which was good for me, I think, you know. Brooks fell away and JB Holmes fell away in front, then Lee, you know, and, you know, I just tried to focus on staying as far ahead of Tommy as I could. And, like, I just walking down 18, I mean, what a day, like.
What a day. You seem really calm and relaxed now. Yeah. Honestly, mentally, how did you keep in the moment and stay present with the magnitude of what you're about to achieve? What was at stake? How did you stay so calm? How did you keep those emotions in check?
I'll be really honest with you, I didn't. You know, I talked to Bo a lot today, my caddy. I told him, honestly, I can't stop thinking about winning. Like, I can't stop thinking about holding Claret Jug. You know, and this is like after 6-7 holes, and he's like, let's just stay with me all day. And you know, he stayed on me, you know, on my back, and he kept talking in my ear, and he was great. I mean, what a job he did today. And I'm just like, I can't wait to wake up tomorrow morning and just what it's going to feel like then. It's just going to be incredible.
Shane, this support all week for you has been phenomenal. How much have you really fed, and how much have they helped you get to this point? A word about just how special they've been for you.
It's I can't describe what it was like. The next tournament I play is probably going to feel boring, because this week was just something I've never seen on a golf course, and they were with me the whole way today. You know, even when I made those couple of bogeys, they're cheering me on to the next tee, and it kept me going. It really did.
There he is, Shane Lowry, your champion golfer 2019, speaking to Sarah Sturck of Sky Sports. Just greenside on 18. I love that line, Peter Lowry, about he can't wait to wake up tomorrow morning, because I think he's just desperate for this to sink in. He can't wait to really feel the feeling of satisfaction. He wants that deep sense of satisfaction to hit him.
Well, I remember Porrick saying when he won his first that he put the claret jug beside the edge of the bed, that when he woke up and he could open up his eyes and see it.
It's real.
It's actually real, and this did happen, and it's not a dream. You know, it's a wonderful, it must be a wonderful feeling to have that jug in your hand, to look at all the names that have been on it.
Yeah.
Like, look at the names that are on the British Open. There's,
join a big list.
Yeah. You can't say there's a bad player there, can you?
Not a bad player. There were a few duds in there. But I tell you what, I hear you. Yeah. Says me.
Yeah.
But basically, you're right. Even the last number of years, the quality of golf that it's taken to win the Open, we shouldn't underestimate just how good this was. 15 under, he's lapped the field by 6 shots. You think last year, Molinari to beat Woods, basically bogey-free all weekend, was a stunning display. The year before that, you had Jordan Spieth, I was about to use the word literally, and I might even use it anyway, performing miracles against Matt Kuchar.
That's right.
At Birkdale. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. The year before that, you have Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson playing some of the best golf I've ever seen.
That was probably one of the best Opens ever.
The quality was outrageous, yeah. The year before that, you have St Andrews and that playoff, Spieth going for the Grand Slam. You go back to 13 at Muirfield, Mickelson put in one of the great final rounds. 2012, you had Ernie Els beating Scott. You know, that was, I guess, the last time someone kind of threw it away a bit, but all of these brilliant champions, and Larry has played that level of golf, you know, to beat these guys. So you really shouldn't underestimate how well he's played. We'll take a short break, some very final reaction to come from Port Rush, and then on the way, Tech Talk at 7, Talking History at 8, and Tom Dunn at 10. We have stayed on the air an extra hour because days like this do not come along very often. We are looking at scenes from the 18th at Port Rush, and I tell you what, I love this. I just love this. Shane Lowry is surrounded by family, and they're getting some pictures, and he gave the claret jug to his dad, Brendan, for a hold. And not only did he hold it, he turned around to the crowd and lifted it up in the air as if he'd won the All-Ireland all over again, and the crowd went wild. So he's enjoying this moment. Brian Gavin, who you'll all know, GAA fans, is with us. On the line from Clara, Brian, is it?
Oh, good afternoon, Joe. I'm actually, for the first time in my life, I'm actually getting a how to talk. It's just people need to realise what this man is after doing, and it's over, so proud, Joe. Unbelievable scene. They're actually playing The Little Town of Clara here as a song that we have here the last 60, 70 years in Clara, and the place has just went electric. the Offaly Rover was said before it. It's just an unbelievable feeling for one of the nicest fellas you'll ever meet in Ireland.
He is. I don't know him as well as you, and I don't know him as well as Peter, but all my dealings with him, I just come away liking him more and more. He's a really great fella, a genuine fella. He is exactly what you suspect he will be when you meet him, and that's not always the case. Where did you watch it today? Were you at Esker Hills, or were you somewhere else in Clara?
No, we went down to Bagot in Clara. When Shane actually won as an amateur, he gave his jersey and the flag here to Aaron Bagot in Bagot in Clara.
Right.
And I suppose at 5-2, Joe, there was a nice few in. But again, 4 o'clock, half 4, when people realised that Shane was going to do this, the place just wedged.
Mm.
And it's unbelievable at the moment. But I suppose, like, you take last Friday week, Joe, he was here with his father in Bagot. It was a surprise party for Brendan. He was 60. And I interviewed his uncle, Magsy Scanlon, we call him. His name is Joe Scanlon, his uncle, who will be Bridgie's brother, at about 10-2 for Midland 103. And he said, this could be the greatest thing since 1982. And he actually hit the nail on the head, Joe.
Mm.
This is the greatest achievement in Offaly since 1982. And I know we've won Hurling All-Ireland in between. But I think, from a Clara and Offaly perspective, this is the greatest achievement since Seamus Darby lifted that twine over in 82.
It sure is. I mean, we were just saying here, Brian, the British Open has been going since 1860. Shane's only the fourth person from the island since 1860 to win this thing.
Yeah, and he's from Clara, Joe. And we're here standing in Clara, and it's not even going to sink in, Joe. It won't even sink in, I'd say, for a few weeks, what this man has done.
Mm.
And it's going to give the whole town a lift. And it's going to give the whole Cowan family a lift, who are former teacher, the Clara man, a great man, Brian Cowan, who unfortunately at the moment is very ill in hospital. And it just gives, days like this, gives everyone a lift. And we played for Ban last night in the Senior Football Championship, and people might know Shane's father, Brendan, who's originally from Forban, but he's living in Clara, and we beat him last night. And I think, you know, give the lads a great lift leaving the dressing room last night, how Shane was going.
Mm.
And Shane loves Clara GAA, like, he was home for the county final, he goes to matches the whole time, anytime he's around. He's just a phenomenal GAA supporter as well, and a genuine nice fella.
Yeah, he's never forgot where he's from. He's never lost the head in that way. Fame, money, you know, the lifestyle. He's never kind of looked back at Clara and thought, well, I've moved beyond G. He's always been of the place.
Yeah, and he gets disappointed, Joe, when Offaly lose or Clara lose. He does. It actually hits him. He's such passionate about it because he grew up, and all his friends, you know, Tom Knox and Andrew Cushion, Colin Fitzpatrick, all the lads that he played with when he was under 14, 15. No, he wasn't the fastest like myself, Joe, but he was a great free taker. But he loved GAA too. But his passion started in every pitch and putt club in Clara and eventually out to Esker Hills. And Joe, it was a very, very tough time for his father, Brendan, and Bridget's time. When times were tough, they were bringing Shane all over Ireland. The money was very, very tight. And by God, did that man repay his mother and father today in no uncertain terms.
It's interesting you say that, Brian, because he referenced that in the speech. He talked about the sacrifices his parents made in his speech on the 18th.
Like, Brendan Lurie used to work in the ESB, Joe, and when he finished, he took on the job then of doing part-time, maybe tiling houses for people, bathrooms, and even only 2 years ago, down doing houses. You know, I know he likes to keep busy anyway, but Brendan Lurie worked his socks off, like his mother, Bridgie, to keep Shane Lowry going at the level he was at. And as I says to you, these are what he could have turned out that he might have made it at golf, but by God, did he make it at golf and repaid his mother and father. And you know, I think people just outside, it's grand for us in Clara, but people outside need to really know how nice of a fella Shane Lowry is. And I guarantee you, in the next week or two or whenever it's possible, we'll have some homecoming for this man because he deserves it.
Yeah, I didn't realise that about his parents and all the sacrifices. I mean, you just presume that goes on because you need that support. So they really deserve a day like today.
They do indeed. And, you know, even a man like David Reynolds, who played with Offaly and scored 6 points against Meath in the 97 Leinster football final, who was his caddy. And, you know, Shane had to make that tough decision.
Yeah.
David Reynolds went all over Ireland with Shane, and Shane had to make that tough decision when he went professional of releasing David Reynolds. And, you know, decisions like that are so tough. But, you know, the local people and the support David Reynolds gave him and his family was just second to none. But as I said to you, Joe, it just gives everybody such a lift because, you know, in GAA terms, obviously hurling and football were not where we were one time. And this just
patches over or gives us that little bit of lift we need.
Oh, it sure does. You're top of the tree right now, I tell you, on an international stage. An international stage, it's no joke. I mean, it's just an amazing achievement. And a final one, I presume, so you're in... You're in Baggots there. I presume that'll be wrapped up in about half an hour. Home to bed for work tomorrow, is it?
Joe, you hear people talking of a bank holiday Monday, but the first time ever there's going to be a bank holiday week. And Joe, this will lead us into all the races as well. But by God, the next 2 weeks are going to be something special.
Right, okay. So you'll get home sometime around August, is it?
I should be back to foot the last bit of turf, Joe, around the 22nd of August.
Listen, good man. What an amazing day for Offaly. Enjoy it, Brian.
And Joe, just before we go, I'm going to send you on a video of a chap who George Robbins is his name. He made a song up last night about Shane, and I'll send it on to you, and you might put it on Facebook. It's brilliant the way he worded it and the way he sang it. So thanks, Joe, for it means a lot to the people of Tara with News Talk and the work you do in sport. It's fantastic.
Oh, listen, no, it pleasure's ours. Thanks a million, Brian.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you.
Brian Gavin there, who you'll know, obviously a brilliant inter-county referee and does work with Midlands, and is in Clara in Baggots having a grand old afternoon. Let's hear from Graeme McDowell. Speaking to Nathan Murphy, we heard from Graeme earlier on in the day. He has since spoken to Nathan since Shane Lowry became champion golfer 2019.
The word proud just goes in front of the word Portrush, goes in front of the word Northern Ireland, Shane, the RNA, everyone involved here at Portrush, the green staff. I mean, there's a lot of prides, I'm going to be 40 here in 8 days. I guess I'm getting to the point in my life where I start to be proud of people, You're not really proud of much when you're 25 and 30. You're just trying to be you, right? So, this has been a special week. I hope we're coming back soon. The whispers are we are coming back soon. Be awesome, for me personally, I couldn't imagine having missed this week, It would have been... I'm going to have great memories from this week, simple as, yes, I didn't play the way I wanted to today. I played the way I wanted to for 54 holes, though, and I enjoyed every second of it, and the people were amazing to me. And the fans, they put on a show for these players. They treated everyone special. I know they treated Shane like one of their own, north or south of the border. There is no border when it comes to golf here in Ireland, simple as, So it opens up a lot of possibilities going forward, and, he's going to be a great Open champion.
You've known Shane for a decade at this stage. Have you noticed a change in him over the last 6 months that he's been able to put in such consistently good golf and then perform to that level at the very highest level?
I think what happened to Shane in the States last year when he lost his card, I think it was a wake-up call for him. I think he went back to Europe and he got his confidence back, simple as. And this is a game of confidence. Bob Rotella wrote the book. It's called Golf's a Game of Confidence. When you're not playing well, you can get the stuff knocked out of you very fast in the sport, simple as, especially in the PGA Tour. It's very cutthroat. You play a bad 9 holes and you're going home on Friday night. Europe is not quite as deep. Players are strong, but it's not as deep. I think he came back from the States at the end of last year and he played well at the end of last year. And he remembered who he was again. And he came out and he won Abu Dhabi this year. And he's been Shane Lowry again, So, like I say, he got his confidence back. And I think when I look back, I think losing his card in the States last year was the best thing that ever happened to him, because it just gives him that little bit of kick that you need to kind of refocus and remotivate and get himself back to where he wants to be, So, as a person, he hasn't changed much. He's still Shane. Still wants to beat me on a Wednesday when I play 9 holes with him, or Tuesday. Still wants to get in your pocket. But, like I say, he's very competitive. But he's a major champion now. It's going to be special. We'll see how he changes now,
Would you have advice for him?
Well, I have advice for him.
How to deal with being a major champion?
Will he push on? That's going to be interesting to see. Players that dream of this day, when they get to this day, don't know. They always say, there's a manual on how to get to the top of the mountain. No one ever tells you how to get down the other side, right? I don't know what's inside of his head. I don't know how good he thinks he could be. And really, that answers the question of where he goes from here, It really just comes down to how many majors, how good you think you are and how good you think you can be. When I won a major championship, I didn't really see much past one major championship. When Rory McIlroy wins one, he's looking at 10, Tiger Woods wanted to beat Jack's record. That's when you look inside of the sort of inside of the brain of a player. That's, no one else can tell that. It's only them that know how good they think they can be.
There we are, Graeme McDowell speaking to Nathan on the Assembled Press. An interesting point. I mean, one for another day, not really for today. It's not fair to get into it today. But in his own mind, whatever was under the bonnet, he saw one major as the pinnacle, and that's that. Rory saw 10 majors probably when he won, certainly multiple. Who knows what Shane Lowry sees? Maybe he doesn't know himself just yet, but he certainly has the game to win another one. This isn't anything approaching a fluke.
No, I think to be honest with you, he has a game that's going to last a long time.
Because of the rhythm and it's natural.
Because of the rhythm and it's natural. And to be honest with you, he hasn't had too many injuries. Like, you know, I said it earlier on, he's no Jim Bunny. And meaning that he's not really going to have too many injuries.
I can't think of him ever being injured.
Exactly. And
now that I think about it, yeah.
I stayed out of the gym and I was never injured when I played. Yeah. And I know many people are like that. When you go to the gym, you get quite tight and, you know what I mean, there's lots of injury possibilities.
There's a downside when you're too finely tuned.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess there's a balance. I mean, to be fair, people look at Shane and think he doesn't even think about a gym. I know for a fact Robbie Cannon out there in Santry, I went out to him one day out of interest and he'll put you through the ringer. But the fitness he works on, he doesn't care about your body fat percentage or that stuff. How much can you turn your shoulders? How much flexibility do you have? And he will work on strengthening that. And I was there that day, and Shane was there.
Right.
And I tell you what, I mean, he's flexible. For a big guy, he's very flexible.
Yeah, yeah. He's a bit like kind of John Daly-ish, you know, who was big, but very flexible. And
you need to be to play good golf.
And great hands.
Yeah.
And
brilliant stuff. Thanks so much for coming in.
Not at all.
Appreciate it. And for staying on an hour later than planned. It's been a long day here. What time is it? 7. Okay. On the air since 1 o'clock. We'll wrap things up. Shane Lowry is the Open champion. He has lapped the field. 15 under. 6 shots clear of Fleetwood. And way more clear of everybody else. A brilliant, brilliant first way to win his major championship. On the island of Ireland as well. What an extraordinary end to an extraordinary week. More tomorrow. Tech Talk on the way.
Golf Weekly from Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Off the Ball Open in Abu Dhabi this November. Book your place now at offtheball.com/open.